I might have a new favorite book, boys. This is a great one. I loved
Why, how fucking good is this book?
it.
I
So good.
loved it.
Is it the perfect
Yeah.
novel? That's my opening question.
What's
It actually,
what's
I think famously got called the perfect novel in someone's review in like
really?
the New York Times. Yeah, I think it was underrated for ages. Like, only sold 1,000 or 2,000 copies when it first came
Yeah.
out. Yeah, and then but
Which
there were
was when actually? Which was
came
when did
out
the first come out?
67.
Okay.
And he seems a little, the author seems a little bit like Stoner himself. He's kind of this, you know, wasn't super well-known guy. He had written, I was reading, it looks like he writes these other books that seem quite eclectic. His earlier one was a Western called Butcher's Crossing. I heard someone say Blood Meridian meets Emerson, which sounds tempting.
That sounds interesting.
And the Stoner is so good that, you know, of course it's tempting. And then there's one after Stoner. So then he writes the campus novel, Stoner. And then after it, he writes Augustus, and that's what won an award, which is like a historical ancient Roman fiction.
Oh.
And it kind of reminded me of like Coen Brothers. Like they kind of choose these different genres, they do True Grit, and then they do like a crime thing, and then they do a musical or something. And everything is very good as well. And probably has a Coen Brothers feel and like a discernible thread. Yeah, it didn't sell hugely, and but I think it might have been like your favorite writer sort of thing, kind of like Velvet Underground, like didn't have many fans at the first album, but all of them like started bands. And C.P. Snow wrote a positive review in the 70s, and then it's had this renaissance like the last 20 years, and I saw it had a renaissance in Europe, like it just went wild in Europe, like in the early 2000s. And
When it was translated into
okay.
French, it got like a whole new lease on life.
Yeah, it's.
Oh, really?
I mean, that's one
That's the
question
name
to
of it in
ask.
the Francophone world.
Is it like, is it not an American novel sort of thing, or is there something that's more European about it? I mean, I'm not sure if I could answer that. It
But it's
might just be.
also interesting because a major theme of the book, or at least a theme of the book, is the war. And it's a very Americanized perspective on the war, right? Because that like they at first everyone was in isolationist mode. They didn't want to get into it. And then finally they joined, et cetera. At least for the Second World War, that is. Well, it just wouldn't be that wouldn't be a European perspective on the war, right? Like it was very
Yeah,
Americanized in that
it's
sense.
away from it. Yeah. I did wonder if you could think of it as a war novel or an anti-war novel, like not the probably not the main part of it, but I think you could kind of read it as an anti-war novel, where he sort of chooses not to go, right?
I felt like that was going to be more of a plot element when Finch like chews him out and is like, "You're going to regret this, man. You're going to regret this," and then it doesn't.
Yeah.
Except that he finds himself in the situation that Sloane was in originally, of watching like all of these talented young men go to war while he stays behind and feeling like incredibly bitter about it.
Well, I think it's a big
Also, at
part
some
of.
point, he develops some bloodlust, right? There's like a part during the Second World War where he feels himself like he wants to be physical and fuck some people up. And it doesn't last very long. But I think it like maybe suggests the question to what extent regret of not going to the First World War is, you know, embedded in his psyche somehow.
At what point did you know you loved this book? Was it like straight away
Was pretty
or?
sold on the first page.
First
Like,
page is good. First
that's a
page is better
crazy
going back
fucking
once
first
you've read it.
page.
Like once you've read it and you go back to that first page, you're like, holy shit, it just pretty much outlines it from the start.
Benny
Yeah, I
sent
was pretty sold on the
that
first page.
quote through to the chat, and I was like, "Oh, this sounds good. I wonder when we'll get to that bit." It's just
Yeah,
like,
boom, firstly.
yeah.
What can it seemed like, did you like it as much as I did, I guess is the question, because you like it took you longer to read it.
It's
Passive
partly because
aggressively, he says.
my life went on pause because Richard came to visit.
Okay,
Didn't
I was
go to
just
the
wondering if
gym.
it
I didn't
was
read
out of if it's
Stoner.
like
Also, like, I just can't really read compared to you guys. But
you
no,
didn't take
I
breaks for CrossFit? What the fuck is wrong with you, dude? It would have changed his
yeah,
life.
we were hit. I was losing to him in tennis. Although I didn't get the term is getting bageled, which stands for zero when you don't get
I
any.
should have bageled you. You did well to not bagel. It's embarrassing for me.
Yeah, so no, I really liked it. I think I'm keen to reread it in a few years' time as well. I think I read it. I think we read it at the right time. Like, I'm not sure if I would have liked it as much as a 19-year-old.
I agree.
I mean, who knows? But also I
No, I
wasn't
think
as in
there's.
love with literature and learning as I was as I am now, which is a big, I think, part of the appreciation.
Yeah, you have
Also,
to
I
be
think.
post-epiphany to enjoy that.
I think, yeah, being older helps just recognizing some of the like monotony and repetitiveness that he's dealing with as his life goes on. And those kind of everything is pretty novel and new when you're 19 and you haven't really experienced like doing your laundry for the thousandth time, sort of thing, which is not explicitly talked about in the book, but you know, just like years going by and family going by and feeling like part of it's like, okay, like a lot of part of my life is not the best, and I'm living for some parts of my life and not living for other parts, and other parts kind of suck. And you don't experience that, I think, until you're at least mid-20s onwards.
I was wondering about doing a very, very quick summary. I think maybe we do them we've done them a bit too long in the past. If that's all right.
Yeah, go for it. Byron can go for like
Yeah,
2 minutes around there.
That's what I mean. So, as we've said, this first page gives us this kind of overview that we get this guy who started uni before the First World War, graduates during World War I, and then teaches at the University of Missouri until he dies in the 50s, I think. Comes from a small town.
End of
That
story.
was going to be your summary.
That's it.
it almost is. Comes from a small town, from a farm, and goes to uni to study agriculture, and then falls in love with English literature, and decides to devote himself to that. He meets Edith, his future wife. I think it's an open question of how much they loved and liked each other at the start, but their marriage is kind of tragic and a disaster, really. But they stay together. They have a little baby daughter, which is an interesting relationship that we can talk about. And then also one of the other staff members. Oh, sorry. Sloane is another important character that was his lecturer when he fell in love with English. And then when he becomes a professor, he has a couple friends, and he has an enemy as well, Lomax, who's hunchbacked. And yeah, that we'll talk about their rivalry and feud. There's a student who's annoying and incompetent and also crippled. That causes issues, and there's another student, Catherine, who is seems quite precocious and talented, and he has an affair with her and falls in love with her. However, that doesn't work out as well, which we'll talk about. Then he kind of grows old as the daughter has a kid, he gets cancer, and he passes, and he reflects on his life, and that's kind of it. Sort of not heaps happening, but it feels very deep as well. So,
Yeah, the big like crazy meta note about this book is that if you described its plot to anyone, they'd be like, and then what? Like, okay, but like, and like, what happened? I think it is the best novel that I can think of reading, and it's not plot driven at all. It's like purely humanistic, and
Well,
it's not like big dramatic beats or anything really. There's some tension, but then even the tension just sort of gently, like things just sort of gently deflate most of the time, rather than having big reversals or swings in fortune or whatever. It's insane to write a book this good where not a whole lot happens.
So why did we like it so much? It's the obvious question. And someone
I think
listening
a
to this
big
be like,
part of
well.
it is we're a little bit like Stoner. We're into reading and learning, and it's like one of, if not the most important thing in our lives. And that's the case for Stoner. I think there's got to be a big part of it. There's parts when he's like, when he's teaching English and he's in love with it, and that's enthusiasm is contagious. And when he realizes who he is, and this is most important, I think that's a big part of it, for sure. But not the only part of why it's good and why we loved it. Sorry. Any theories, Benny?
Honestly, I had a bit of a hard time justifying it to myself. I'm not sure. Yeah, so definitely part of it is
Because it failed
this
the vegetable
guy
test.
who.
You know the vegetable test? You try and
Sorry.
count how many times women talk to another woman that aren't, and they're not talking about men. And like,
Sorry, no, that's not what I was thinking of at all.
okay, yeah.
But that's
So it's
funny.
just, yeah, which we'll get to as well, because I think there's some talk of that.
Wait, what is that? What is that named after? Who, like, what is?
Digital, I think, was a woman, like a feminist.
Oh,
It'd be
interesting.
crazy
You
if
should
she's
look
named after a man. Yeah, she was special that the who pointed it out.
Yeah. Yeah,
So
so I
like
mean, part of
Master, so
it
Master and the
is.
Commander is the best movie because it fails the special test most strongly.
That's just how we imagine women acting in our daily lives. I'm assuming that's the that's underlying the criticism, right? It's like men's mental models of women is just them going around
Well,
talking
I
about
think
men all
that's maybe that's
the
interesting to no, but it's more like the Edith character. I think there's a little bit of talk around her portrayal, or at least understanding her motivations, which we'll get to. Fun to feel like. Why do you like it? You're about to say why you like it for throwing you off.
Well, I'm not entirely sure, to be honest. So, I mean, yeah, one part of it is the literature, and I think he feels similar to myself in some sense of coming later in life to a love of like knowledge and literature and things, and only realizing that about himself later on. Later meaning, sometime during undergrad. But I feel like that was also my life arc in some sense. Some people wouldn't know that about themselves from a very early age and are just precocious youths. That was not my situation at all. I was just like a
Same.
totally
I wish
mediocre
it was.
dumbass doing normal. I wish
It would be
I
dope if we were like
it's
this
a
when we were
silly,
17.
well, it's a very silly thing to regret in some sense because you are who you are because of things you did at 17. But yeah, I definitely have a part of me that was like, yeah, I should have been, especially I should have been Ankian. Imagine just starting to Anki when you're
I
15. You're a
know, no. I
monster.
mean, earlier now, like for Rich's kids, like you get them all, becomes a habit. And it's just part of life.
But anyway, so part of it is that like personal element where you go to university and you weren't expect that you start out in one subject and you weren't, and it's a very applied subject, and then you end up falling in love with something else and you can't quite justify it in terms of its utility to the world. And that parallels my story a lot. Like I went to different subjects, obviously, but I went to do medicine, which you can justify, and everyone's excited for you to go do medicine, and then you can be a doctor and
Did you
take care of
start
your
with
family,
med?
etc. Okay, I started medicine, and then I just ended up gravitating towards math and physics, and then went for math and computer science in the end. But and so my point is that I ended up being like captured by sort of theory and math for the sake of it, and
Did you fail
some of
first
my
year
best
mid?
hours are just. No, I just did
I'm
extremely
joking.
well in well, I definitely didn't do as well as I did in like math class and stuff, but because first year, I mean, it's just all biology. It's like memorizing the Krebs cycle and all that
Yeah.
stuff. And so it's just purely driven by how much you can memorize, which is interesting. But anyway, so yeah, the point of it is I sort of identified with his dawning realization that he sort of was in love with a subject that in some sense he refused to recognize himself for a long time. It took Sloane at the beginning to tell him he was going to be a teacher. And it was obviously obvious to Sloane that this guy's on the path to
Yeah, I
become a
suppose you're an
professor and a
academic as
teacher.
well,
And it
so
was,
it's extra
yeah, it's
meaningful of just that whole, like, I'm
extra hardy.
staying, I'm never leaving this world.
But then also just the general, like putting aside academia, I'm sure we all have that feeling of like some of your best hours are spent just like sitting with a coffee and a book, just poring over something, or just like understanding something
Or
for
even
the
just a
first time.
computer
Like
with
he
Wiki.
goes, and like those fr the, when the author talks about just him in his personal library, just really loving those kind of hours when he's just on his own learning. Like, yeah, fuck yeah. You can really identify with that. I think another part of it for me was, and I don't think this is like myself, but there was something about his stoicism throughout it all. Like, he
He's
would
a
just
fucking martyr,
go,
bro. He's a saint.
he totally is. And he just basically kept his cool throughout. You know, his wife is like kind of nuts. She's basically a psychopath, I would say. And but then he also, so he was very stoic in terms of stuff, but he also had deep underlying values that he stood up for, right? So when he refused to give in to Lomax and his student, who's
The
name
evil
is
cripples.
Brendan. What's the student's name? Yeah, sorry, what's his name? Brendan?
Walker.
Master Damon, or sorry, yeah, Walker. Yeah, which was pretty interesting, right? Because he's like this very down-to-earth guy, and you could tell he wasn't doing it out of a desire to make himself feel special or important. Like, he didn't want to elevate himself above them. He just felt that universities exist for a reason, and these people were basically the antithesis of what the university stood for. And so there was part of that too, where he's like this, he let most things go, but he had a few sort of bedrock principles that he refused to give up. And I don't know. Yeah, I
Yeah, I
respected
mean,
that a
you
lot.
could make an argument he's too stoic, or like maybe stoic's even the wrong word, that he's like too much of a pushover. He definitely stands up for himself occasionally, not often though. He just kind of takes it. And in one sense, that's cool, like he's this kind of martyr, but in another sense, this you could make an argument that.
It could be more agentic and like solve
He's
your problems.
too passive, right? Rich, do you want to jump out a bit and then
Yeah, I'll do
talk?
why I think I loved it, and then I think we should talk more about like a bunch of that stuff. But yeah, a lot of it is similar to you, Benny, of like coming late to the intellectual life and like recognizing that flourishing and that unfurling and feeling a sense of sort of disappointment that you'll never get to all the things that you want to get to, and wishing you could have started earlier, and also
Is
being
there one nice line that everyone of us relates to about realizing you're never gonna?
something about not being able to read all the books. I forgot to highlight it. I did say.
That hits you hard. That hits you so hard.
And then he's like feels isolated from people as well, which I think we could talk about. And I'm curious if whether you guys have experience like that. But the main reason that I identify with him and that I might not have when I was younger is that if I'd read this when I was 21 or something, I would have been mad at him for for what I would perceive to be not fighting hard enough and being a pushover and not being ambitious enough. Like, leave your wife, rescue your daughter, get a promotion, compromise with Lomax if you have to, put your stamp on the world, and be somebody. And I would have found it odd to read a book about a guy who ultimately is like a footnote to history and doesn't have any impact really on the world and doesn't get the girl. And I'd be like, what is the point of this book? And now I think I've been like humbled enough by life and also my own personal path through life of realizing that like mediocrity is sort of the modal outcome for people like me. And I've sort of come to terms with that and realize that you can still live a good life and that there are certain things that I do which are ultimately not means to an end. They are just ends unto themselves, which includes the learning stuff, the book club stuff, like a lot of what I'm interested in. I think I won't end up applying it for the betterment of mankind, or I don't think anyone will remember me in the history books. And so like that's been hard for me to come to grips with, having been infected with like Silicon Valley memes and like effective altruism memes and stuff. And now I'm okay with it. And I love to see a fellow traveler. I love to empathize with this fellow traveler and see how he can live a good, principled life in spite of, in some sense, not deserving to have a book written about him, you know?
Because I mean, it could be read as an existential book, right? Like, what's the meaning of all this? And then there is meaning. Like he realizes his identity at the end, and maybe even earlier when he talks to Catherine. They kind of, he said that we know who we are, and it's quite a
Yeah.
deep and meaningful life that we relate to. And yeah, and it, I mean, I even feel a bit odd calling it mediocre, but I think that's right. He's, you know, he's as it starts in the first page, it says he's got this one book that like people, some people at the university kind of remember who he is. And yeah, that's like you think of like the lecturers you had and the smart people, you know, this is just the case.
Well, I mean, like mediocre relative to the reference classes, like other smart, maybe academic people.
No, I don't think that's right.
Not, it's not relative to the whole world. It's just like, or relative to your own expectations, even, or other people's expectations of you. Yeah, that's just how life is. I think
And
it still is relative to the whole world, to be honest. Like he's not going to be
well,
remembered probably more than most people.
no, certainly, but
So.
like I kind of think it depends how much import you there is with like this kind of learning. And like he's obviously like a smart, insightful guy who reads all the time, right? That's not a very common thing to do.
Sorry, I don't mean, yeah, sorry, I don't mean in terms of his life lived from his perspective and the meaning of it. I just mean in terms of just call, like stamp on the world after
No,
gone,
I know,
is, you
but
know,
it's
the vast majority, yeah.
yeah. So my point being, like, for people like him or like us, we kind of feel like we're a bit special, and in one sense, we are. You know, top 5, top 10% of whatever, at least. You know, kind of like raw smarts, and then like interest in things, and
Yeah, we're
but
awesome.
like most people don't read, right? Like it's just kind of a fact. No, but that's the thing, and you kind of feel like, oh yeah, I'm so amazing, so much better than that. But then the next layer is, well, actually, what am I doing? I'm not really doing much. I don't have much of a stamp on the world, you know.
Yeah.
And then yeah, you are just kind of mediocre in that sense, or at least not significant, and that's fine, and it can still be meaningful to live a good life.
Yeah. I would like to talk at some point about his daughter because I agree that,
Oh yeah, when you
like,
talk
yeah,
about the
I think
daughter, when you talk about the
I
wife, when you talk about Lomax.
like I think, yeah, I think an interesting line of inquiry is to what extent he's too much, he's too passive. And yeah, I used Stoic at the beginning, which certainly he does strike me to have done the right thing in many circumstances. But when it comes to like the obvious sort of maltreatment of his daughter, I get off
Kind
the
of lets it
boat a
happen, eh?
bit. I'm like, okay, like maybe you should have done a little more to, because I mean his daughter basically has goes from this, like, I think we're meant to picture her as this bright, cheerful child who could have done a lot, who really loved her dad, who's extremely happy, and she becomes an alcoholic, right? And
Yeah, no, in one
she
sense, it's kind of
marries
just
this
as much his
loser.
fault, eh? Like, it's like he's letting it happen and he's okay with it because he
Yeah.
reads all the time. It's like his escape. And it's like, in one sense, like Edith's, because Edith at one point, like, makes up when she has friends around, like, oh, Gracie loves her dad, but her dad's never got time for her. And like, it's obviously like she pulled Grace away from it and kind of manipulated her. But like, there's a kernel of truth there where like, he's reading all the time, and he used to read all the time with Grace there. But like, he kind of let it happen, and instead of fighting it, he prioritized just reading all the time and being passive about it.
I
Yeah.
think like
So.
the move that the author pulls, which sort of like confounds it, is that he makes it seem as though this is inevitable and that Edith has Stoner outmaneuvered at every turn. And so I wanted Stoner to like kick off and lash out a bit, but I also could tell that like within the context
Get the pimp hand
novel.
out.
Oh yeah, but I think like that would have been the undignified option within this world, and we meant to infer that that would have also been futile or made things worse, and that all that he could do is sort of grin and bear it with the best grace possible. So I feel like we kind of I was thinking about this, and I couldn't see anywhere really obvious in the text where it's like he made a definitely wrong decision, except obviously I think I would fight for my daughter and I would do what I had to do and like.
I would make us be willing to like make a scene and embarrass myself and create disharmony and so on. But the way it was written was quite kind of clever, where it seems as if Edith just masterfully manages to ruin his relationship with Grace, and I'm not
And
sure
I think it's
how
also
he would have
there's a
done
few
it.
sentences that like the realization probably happened later. I don't have the quotes, but the narrator's almost like he would come to realize this was like the great battle, that this was the start of the great battle, but he probably didn't realize it at first, like all these moves that Edith is making.
I don't know. It seems like there's choice points in there, though, right? You're just like coming home every day. You're aware you're not seeing your daughters for most of the day. You don't see her at breakfast. You see her for a few minutes at dinner, and she's kind of afraid to talk to you because Edith jumps on her if she does. That seems like, I agree, the author didn't frame that as a choice, but always letting that slide is consistently a choice, right? Like the to never pull Edith aside and then say, she's also my daughter, and this is unacceptable, that sort of thing. To never do that is
Well, he
also
does say that
a
at one
choice
point.
that he's
He's like,
making
don't
later.
use her. He's like, I know you hate me, don't use her.
Yeah, but they never really done anything about it. She
The thing
continues
is,
to use
like,
her. That's
one,
it.
there's different social pressures to get a divorce. Two, if you get the divorce, you're not probably not necessarily keeping the kid. So,
Yeah, that's true.
but yeah,
But I mean, he doesn't have
I
the kid
think there's some
anyway.
truth there. I think that could be the maybe the stronger criticism of his passive behavior with the daughter. Just quickly, what do you think about the war? Like, do you think what are we meant to think of him not going to war and his attitude towards it? And Gordon Finch is quite positive. Like, he almost can't believe that he's not going to war. And then the other guy, I forgot his name, that they reminisce on, Matthew, maybe, I can't
Dave,
remember.
Mark, Dave,
What was it? David Masters, yeah. And he went, but he seemed a bit cynical about it as well, right? So like he kind of went for odd things, and I'm not sure if I don't think it's right to say that Stoner was scared. It felt like indifferent of it,
It
and I.
actually feels, just as you're saying that, I'm realizing that, I mean, he refused to go to war for the country and for his family, right? And he was sort of indifferent about them both. And he sort of took a similar attitude to both of them.
And I
In the
think
case of the
part of it is
war
because
quote,
he
if I
just wants to
remember,
read, man. Yeah,
no, and I think that's maybe the author's point. I mean, I think from what I remember, the First World War, he struggled a bit, right? There was a couple of weeks indecision where he was wondering if he should go or not. And then I think Sloane encouraged him not to, right?
yeah.
In either case, he sort of becomes this indifferent guy who takes refuge in like learning of books. And I don't know if we're supposed to read that as the author saying, be careful what can come of you if you don't also prioritize things in the world, if you don't keep yourself tethered to other people and other things in the world somehow, or if the author views this as a positive. Or if one's a positive, one's a negative, like not going to war is maybe a positive, and not fighting for his kid is a negative. And so, being attached to the world of ideas and books, et
Yeah, I think
cetera,
it's maybe that, a little bit of that.
has benefits and costs. I
And
think
like, I'm
Sloane's
sorry, you go,
response.
Rich. Like Sloane's response to him suggests to me that we're meant to interpret it positively or at least neutrally. You must remember what you are and what you have chosen to become, and the significance of what you are doing. There are wars and defeats and victories of the human race that are not military and that are not recorded in the annals of history. Remember that while you're trying to decide what to do. And so he's basically endorsing his decision to not go to war. And I think you could even read that as the parallel to his personal life and his refusal to. He is a very principled man, to the point of stubbornness and to the point of potentially making what we think are bad decisions. But he sort of knows what he's about, and he just steadfastly, resolutely commits to it through all crises, like geopolitical or personal. So I wonder if we're meant to,
That's
I mean, I
interesting.
know that like it's obviously ambiguous, like partly you want to shake this fucking guy, right? Like, come on. But there's still
my whole read through, I felt good to I felt like good feelings towards him and like good vibes towards him in spite of these decisions. And so I feel like that's the author must have been trying to convey that at least to some degree.
No, definitely. I think he's overall kind of to be viewed as a bit of a saint. But I think you can, yeah, you can look at the passivity of a life and how much was his failures his fault. I mean, he even says that, right? Near the end, is it? He says, this was the life he chose, which I thought was great. I can't remember the line exactly, but it was like he knows that it's partly his lack of accomplishments and just issues and problems always stemming is like is partly his approach to things, and he just cops it. He's like, "Fuck it, yeah, like this is kind of the way I am, is what how I do things, and that's fine." Rather than blame others.
Like the one thing he does fight for is the integrity of the institution at some point, right? And that seems to be the only thing he's really willing to put his foot down for. But the other thing I just realized is there is one point in the book where he doesn't just take it on the chin and he actually does fight back aside, which is when Lomax is giving him continuously giving him a bad lecture schedule, and he's always teaching undergrads. And at some point, he gets fed up with this and just teaches his graduate seminar to the undergrad class. A bunch of English 101 students who starts lecturing them about medieval trends in literature, which is hilarious.
And
And
it's
I wasn't sure how
Lomax's
to read
content, right?
this.
He's teaching him his own, he's like stealing his material,
Oh, was it? I thought it was
stealing his thunder.
his senior stuff. Was it Lomax's
No,
stuff?
I think.
I think he's
Was it
teaching him
Lomax's thing? No,
Lomax's
I think
stuff.
it might have been his senior stuff that he got taken off and then he got given back.
Yeah, I thought it
I
was like
can't.
his seminar. But anyway, like I wasn't that wasn't interesting because part of me would have expected after he does that to also display a bunch of agency in the rest of his life. So he's like now, you know, he's made this decision to get like at least push in the direction of getting his preferred schedule at school. I kind of expected him to then go home and be like, okay, I'm demonstrating agency in one part of my life. Now I'm gonna apply this to the other parts of my life. But he doesn't do that at all. He leaves his family life as is and is now somewhat happy to have this somewhat better lecture schedule and kind of leaves it there. So he is capable of like standing up for himself every once in a while. But
Even that is like non-violent resistance, right? It's like weaponizing his own stubbornness and willing to endure discomfort. It doesn't involve him going on the attack and making someone else uncomfortable, or like he's just
That's
willing to
true.
eat shit for his beliefs, basically. And yeah, he wins, but like.
Well, the one time he wasn't just eating shit was when he like was failing Walker.
But he was because he's the one who suffered for all those choices, right? He
Yeah, I suppose you can.
threw away Catherine for that ultimately, which is an insane decision.
Yeah, that's wild. That is wild.
Well, maybe let's talk about the relationship. So we've got the wife, and I think, yeah, I mean, I kept imagining if Alan, if the missus was reading this, and I imagine what she'd say is there's probably a good novel here from the wife's perspective as well. So I had that ringing in my head a little bit. I think you can go too far criticizing it as sexist, but I think it's right. Part of it's probably just, as a male author, and it can sometimes be a little hard to write from the female perspective.
I
For
thought she was
some.
an interesting character. It's just that she was extremely unsympathetic character.
She's extremely unsympathetic, but I think the criticism, which has some truth to it, is that her motivations aren't super clear. Like, why is she so histrionic and toxic all the time? I think at one point, I think this is a stretch, but like, there's an indication that maybe she was kind of messed with by her dad, but I think it's kind of a stretch. So when her dad died, she seemed kind of better off, and two, the mother said a couple of things. She said like they were very close, and they might have just been very close.
Interesting.
I wondered,
I
oh, okay,
picked up
does
on
that
that
explain
subtext as
her?
well.
Pardon?
I picked up on that subtext as well.
Yeah, and then she, of course she's like got this aversion to sex, like when they lose their virginity, and she like vomits, and she's sort of scared of that, and she kind of potentially hates, like, you know, the Miss Havisham character. And but yeah, like some of her motivate. So yeah, maybe points at there, but I think you don't. I think it's not obvious that she was abused by her father, and so maybe she's just like toxic, and like. Some people are toxic, and like one thing I don't like is when, like, and you can even call it toxic femininity. Like, it's like a feminized way of being toxic, and I think like that should be portrayed sometimes. You can make an argument if that's like the only the thing is there is another strong female character who's portrayed super positively. People might have an issue about the age gap, but like,
Wait, but where are you coming from with this stuff? Do people say that this book is misogynistic, or are you
There's
in like
there was
preempting a claim?
straw man everywhere. No, there was there is like a review out there of this of a woman who criticizes it for that. She also has some criticisms of the other villains being like cripples, which we'll get to later. But I also, I mean, before I even came across that, when I was reading it, I was like a little bit, sometimes I was just a bit puzzled by her motivations, but I also like could imagine it. Like I think I've been in relationships, not to that extent where it is a little bit like that. It's like, you just being a bitch. And then like, and then I just withdraw and like read. So like, I think it captured an aspect, and yeah. And like there's, that's a toxic way of being that I think got captured. It's kind of like if I was reading like a woke book these days, and then like the male character is just this like caricatured like evil white man who like has no, who you don't know where he's coming from. He's just like you know, that would be annoying. And that happens sometimes when you like watch TV. So I kind of see where they're coming from, but I think. I don't. I'm not fully on board with it. I think. I love the book. Like, and yeah, and even if there is truth to it, I probably don't mind. It's like a toxic female
So
character. Who's...
why do we think he married her?
Well, that's
What
yeah.
was
Did he
that?
love her at the start? I think he's kind of attracted to her. And
He
then,
just
like, that's
fell
kind
for
of
her,
what
and
you
he's
do.
like a naive guy from the sticks. He's probably seen like three women in
Yeah,
his life,
and
right?
she like she's marrying down, right? She comes from this rich family. I mean, I think that explains her behavior. Like, she's sort of marrying down, and then she then there's this guy who, like, doesn't love her like in the end, and like she doesn't love him, but like she, he and he just reads all the time. And he's passive and like infuriates her.
Well, she's marrying into potential which is never fulfilled, right? Because at this point in time, he could yet be somebody,
Yeah, true.
and he could rise through the ranks. I mean, he only gets made like a proper professor on his deathbed, right? He's like a, I don't know what the academic terminology is, but like basically, he never goes anywhere. He's just a competent teacher, and she feels trapped by that. The other thing is, the Edith before she gets into like pottery and cuts her hair short and stuff, that is like a whole trope and type which existed at that point in time and which maybe people are less familiar with today, of like neurasthenia, of was a real affliction that women had where they would just like not want to do anything and just sort of lie around in bed with the blinds drawn and stuff like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was a whole phenomenon amongst exactly that type of person from that social background of like upper class woman who basically had no real role to fill. Yeah, and I think it probably exists today in different forms, possibly in some of the chronic illness type things which affect women a lot more than
Well,
they
it's
do.
captured a little bit in that Blue Jasmine movie that you loved so much, right? Like, she was kind of losing her shit because She just kind of, I mean, she was more sort of obsessed with status and didn't really know what to do. But.
Yeah. So this was this thing where like women of a certain class would go to the seaside with their aunt or whatever, or like lie in a room with the drapes drawn all day because they felt so weak and they needed to lie down. And it's just this kind of very strongly culture bound medical condition, which doesn't seem to have any obvious
Sounds kind of like depression, right?
physiological causes. Yeah.
Or a type of it.
Oh, William James apparently called it Americanitis because it was like super common in
Oh,
Americans in particular.
okay.
Anyway, but that's the context that like is probably missing for modern readers of that depiction of a
Yeah,
person who
sure.
behaves like that. And then she sort of has these spasms where she breaks free from it. The first when she gets in her head to have a child, and then once again is like, oh, this is too much. This is She's not prepared to actually deal with the consequences of it. And then when she sort of reinvents herself as a potter and like starts wearing makeup and cuts her hair and wears like the flapper dresses and stuff, she's trying to like find herself. And then she can never quite break free from the strictures of her life in like a Missouri university town. And so, yeah, that's my best attempt at trying to analyze her motives is that she just resents Stoner on some level, and maybe even if he's a representation of her father or something like that, or her mother. And just the only way that she can self-actualize is by playing these like psycho game,
No, I think that's right.
power trip
And she resents
games
him.
to flex. That's the only way that she gets to flex her agency and power.
Yeah, I mean, I could imagine it. I was in my university relationship, and then like near the end of it, we just didn't hadn't broken up, and we should have. And there was like no love there, and she just doesn't act like Edith acted, but like you know, we because we broke up, and she ends up fucking a bartender or something. But like, in a different culture where like you can't divorce, right? You just kind of deal with it. I remember also seeing like a sort of friends, and like they were obviously just they were still living together, and it's like compatible and like. But he just gamed at night, and she like went out with her friends. They're broken up now, but like it is a thing that happens sometimes, and like he totally withdraws, and she resents him, and she's a nasty person as well.
Yeah, that's why this feels like more true to life to me that both with Grace and with Edith, it's sort of I feel like it's subversive in that normally when you read a novel or watch a movie or something, it's like it's chosen to be a hero's journey style narrative where if not the guy gets the girl, at least he shows some agency and saves someone or tries to or whatever. But like in real life, it doesn't tend to happen that way, I think.
Yeah, this
In
felt
real,
very real.
yeah, like even with Grace, I
No.
think in real life, people will be who they will be. And one of the worst experiences that you can have that's very common is realizing that even if it's someone you really love, there may not be anything that you can do about it short of watching it unfold. And you can try and provide support and you can try and intervene in certain ways, but like people will run their lives the way they want to run their lives. And like, given a long enough life, I think everyone has that realization. Like, I've already had that realization with people in my life of like, ultimately, they need to make a decision to be a certain way, and nothing that I can do is going to change that. And so it's like, it feels, yeah, it just feels really realistic to not be like, oh, Stoner's going to swoop in and win his wife over or divorce her and win his daughter back or whatever. It's like, I think possibly it's more realistic to just have it
Yeah,
in the way that it wins,
I
that
related to
in
it.
the way that it ends.
Man, some of those scenes though, I was like, fuck, that would be so annoying. Like, you know, she just starts embarrassing herself in front of the students, and like, it's just like, and she's
Oh.
just, and it's
Also,
like this
just like
cry for
when she
help, but
yelled at
like,
his
it's like,
office. Sorry.
yeah, pardon?
Oh,
She's like,
yeah.
she
That
what?
was
Oh,
rough,
destroy,
man.
yeah, I know,
Like,
destroy.
to take over his office and.
I felt that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, she's a piece of work, man.
Not the books, man. Not
And
the
like, the
books.
man just wants to fucking read, right? And then
There's
she
that
like
whole
go and
scene
play
where he's
piano.
like, actually, I thought we could talk about it. It's like the environmental psychology thing. where he's like working on his office and he's like shaving the old paint off and sanding it, refinishing it, building bookcases, and he's like, oh, I imagine this is the process of becoming for me. Like, I am making this space in the mold of who I am and who I want to be. It's more
Yeah,
than just
sounds
an
cool.
office. There's a really nice passage about it. And then
Well,
it's like, it's so sad
she
that he,
dies. I know.
yeah,
And then he
like
just
he,
takes it. He's
man
just
just
like
rolls
in
it with the
the,
punches. Hey, that sleeps on a
he's
couch
just in
and
the back
shit.
with his
It's like,
books like spilling everywhere.
if I came home
He
and
takes
all my
everything, yeah.
stuff was like out in the hallway and they were like, oh, it's my pottery studio now, I'd be like, hold on, hold the fuck, like we're gonna have a conversation about this. Like, that's not how it works.
Yeah, so in one sense he is too much of a pussy, but
Yeah, it's insane.
it's also kind of nice. It's just like he just takes
Maybe
it and he's still
maybe
fine.
Stoner is more like a passive aggressive archetype of, and Edith is more like the masculine one, because it's kind of insane to just
Well,
deliberate,
she's been passive aggressive as well.
yeah, but to just roll with that and not make it into a confrontation, but to just be like, I don't know, like maybe
But
she
he
wants
doesn't
him
really
to fight
bite
her,
even. He
maybe it's a
doesn't
shit
really. I don't
test.
think
Yeah,
he
no,
has the
I think she
aggressive
shit
part though,
ticks him.
right?
She's like crying for help. Like she fucking hates him and resents him with I think in a fair way, to some extent. Like not completely because she's nasty, but like it's a hard life for her as well.
But he doesn't have. He doesn't like passive aggressive. Doesn't seem correct because he doesn't seem aggressive.
Yeah, no,
He
I
seems
don't think it's
passive
fit.
only,
I think he's
but.
just stoic and takes it.
Like he doesn't seem to hold whatever she's done against her in the next days or weeks after the confrontation. Like he truly does seem to just take it and not passive aggressive. I associate with sort of like biding your time until you can make them feel uncomfortable enough or until they notice your discomfort and
I
then you
think
make them
there's
feel bad
this
about what they've done.
interesting mix of feelings he has, like, which was well done, where like he no longer loves her if he ever did. But like he still has this feeling of pity for her and kind of like a connection to her as well. Like near the end there's a bit of that as well, but like this later family loyalty and
Yeah.
they kind of have this bond, you know, like which I think is often true, like that can happen, right? Let's say you and you can even have some resentment, but you still have like loyalty and to do the right things at times, and yeah, so I think so should we move on to the feud at university?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's
To be
do
honest,
it.
that's when I think actually that's when I realized I loved it. I was just so gripped
Yeah,
by
that was
that build,
gripping.
like the Walker shit and then Lomax Walker Alliance, like just building and building. And I was like, oh man,
Lomax is
I
such a
couldn't put
good
it down.
villain.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a great villain. Huh.
Because
He's not like a bad guy. I think Stoner even calls him like a good man and a good teacher
Well,
in the end.
he
I
says he
think he
might be
is
the
kind of
best
a
of
bad.
them.
I think he is kind of a bad guy. He's different. There's aspects of.
But he's not motivated by malice. He's just too caught up in his own personal life tragedy. And like, it's like misdirected compassion, the reason why he favors this student.
Well, I think there's a bit of proto kind of PC-ness and HR affirmative, there's sort of that thing of like this guy's like Stone is like meritocratic, and you know uni these days anyone goes, but like back then especially it's like you have to be good here to come do postgraduate, and then like there's obviously these other agendas which you can understand, like Lomax thinks Walker gets prejudiced because of his limp and he sees it as kindred spirit because he has a disability, but yeah, just dealing with this bullshit bureaucratic kind of stuff, like felt a little bit prescient.
Can we just do a
That was
sidebar on like how crazy the requirements are for the undergraduate English program
Yeah,
in the frickin'
I know.
20s? What the
You
hell?
always hear rumors
He's
of
like,
it, talks of that
it's
back
insane.
in the day. Like you read a book this week.
Yeah.
There's one where the student's like, well, my topic is gonna be reading the romantic poets through the
I
lens of
know.
Neoplatonism and the with reference to blah and blah. I'm like, what? Dude, I was like, man, when I
That's
was that
crazy.
age, I was just like reading my first book.
Well, uni people
It's
don't even read. No, you just don't do the readings.
yeah.
Let alone the session.
Yeah.
I think part of this feud was to do with the topic, and the approach to academia. So, like, Stoner is this classical. He's into the medieval and classical analysis of like poetry and cause and this more kind of logical stuff. And then I think Lomax was like a romantic, he's a romanticist. And Walker was like, I mean, that's when he first started chimping out and being rude of like romantic poetry is the real poetry and none of this shit matters. This stuff didn't influence. So I think there's part of it is this like different view of, and it's not obvious. Who's
Does Walker
right?
try to say Shakespeare's not special? Does he do the Richard Hananiah?
No, he
No, he
was trying to
says,
say that Shakespeare wasn't influenced by someone that I forget the name of.
yeah, that
Oh, that's
just,
right. Yeah.
he doesn't like all this kind of like and stuff. And I think he just views it as like, someone can just be an amazing poet with like without any influence and without any hard work. And we should analyze it there. Also, he's retarded in lots of other ways, but in one sense, I think you probably could. There's kind of two schools of thought there, and Lomax is also on that side of Walker.
So it's
Yeah,
actually like an intellectual fight hidden behind
I think a little
the
bit.
surface level fight.
I think it's a
Is
little bit. It's the
that
kindred spirit of the disabilities, and then there's a little bit of this intellectual antecedence, and then there's just
I don't know. I think I might disagree with that, to be honest.
just a little bit. I'm not even sure if it's the main driver.
Just
It's
no,
there. It's definitely there. I mean,
because
in some sense,
I
Walker's just
don't.
totally incompetent and totally chimping out, and there's like no kernel of truth to what he's saying. And like he's just,
Yeah.
when he's saying he's reading out his thesis, he's making shit up, and there's nothing there. That's so
In an
awesome, that
impressive
bit.
way. In
Yeah,
an incredibly
that's one of
impressive
the
way. Yeah.
great scenes, right?
It's like, holy
And then
shit.
he
Like,
lights out to
obviously, he's
ripping
a
into
smart
Catherine
guy.
Driscoll, and like it's just been an asshole, and like, and he's like, he's late. There's all this shit that he's just bad, but I think he is into like the, and I don't really know about these different fields, but I think there's a little bit that like he's a romantic poet, and he thinks all that's kind of a waste of time, and I think Lomax is as well. It comes from that sort of field.
Oh, I see. I agree, maybe from their perspective, but I don't think Stoner harbors any. I don't think he harbors
He
any
thinks the
doubts
classical
as to
stuff's
the.
important, and like knowing all this stuff's important.
Yeah, I mean, he just seems like. But he seems to
He's not going to give it a
respect
pass.
Lomax's discipline. He just
Yeah,
wants Walker to
I'd agree with
actually
that. I agree
understand
with
what
that.
any competent grad student understands. And because he seems like it when Lomax is questioning Walker, Stoner is pleasantly surprised. And is obviously pleased that he's able to answer, seemingly answer all these questions really well, right? Like he sits up in his
Yeah.
chair and he looks at Finch and gives him a small smile. And then it's when the
He's kind of like, yeah,
second
that was good.
examiner starts
Lomax probably
questioning
coached
him.
him, but that's pretty good.
No, I think he was just legitimately impressed. Like he, because he says this is
No,
going to be an amazing
I
thesis
agree.
that he pulls off
That's
and
what
you're
I mean.
reading
It's
your
risk. I was
thesis, right?
saying
I think
myself
he's told.
that Lomax
Oh,
probably
I see.
coached
Yeah.
him, but it was
Yeah,
good.
like that is an interesting question that I think the book. Yeah, it doesn't resolve, and I'm not sure what we're supposed to think about it. Like, to what extent those answers were coached, to what extent Walker is just brilliant at making stuff up about a certain set of subjects, and all Lomax had to do is redirect the attention towards this subset of topics that he could just like riff on.
Well, I think part of it is a slightly different
But
approach that I'm getting at. The person that's not worried about theory and all the history of stuff and just like wants to write like beautiful poetry, and it has a certain talent to it, but then can't answer basic questions and has no time for them and lies about them and as well.
yeah, but I mean, Lomax never tries to say that the standards are the wrong standards, right? If that was the debate, you'd think Lomax would say,
Yeah,
like,
you're right.
we should have
Lomax is just
graduate
wanting to give him a
students do.
pass, right?
Yeah, and he seemed to say, oh, that was fine, and yeah, his knowledge was a bit lacking when it came to when it came to Stoner's questions, but otherwise he did pretty well. And everyone else was like, "What the fuck are you talking about?" He obviously just doesn't know anything
I mean,
except
do you reckon that's how
a
the
few
that's how I
key
took it? Do you
players.
reckon the audience is meant to take it as like Walker doesn't really know his shit and he's just making stuff up? He knows some
Yeah, I
about
think so.
his interest topic and he can kind of chimp out about that for a bit, but
Yeah.
in general, he's not very impressive.
And he's obviously extremely good at just oration, at just waffling on about a topic
It
and was spitting out a word salad that sounds
reminded me a little bit of
good.
Fyodor
But
Pavlovich a little bit, you know, and you're just kind of going
yeah.
off and you know you're the clown and you like sort of keep doing it.
Yeah, that's
Right,
a
yeah,
good
and you can't even
contain
comparison.
and help yourself,
And
then that's good.
you get all wounded, like
Yeah.
theatrically wounded when your
Yeah.
motives are impugned. You're like, me, sir, me.
Yeah.
That is funny.
There's almost an element of comedy in a lot of the in a lot of the Walker interactions when Stoner's like, all right, well then show me your paper. Like if you supposedly wrote it, he's like, now, did you ask everyone else to
Yeah,
show
he's quite
their
good at making up
papers?
excuses. Yeah.
He is pretty good.
Yeah, he's
Also, I
so
was
good.
pretty confused about about that though. I mean, in what universe do you write a final paper for a course and then not actually deliver it? That seemed extremely bizarre to me. It seemed like a
Oh no, I thought it was at that point. Like it's probably due at the end or something. Oh
No,
yeah.
he
No,
still hadn't written
when the
anything,
course
right?
was
He was just
over.
ad
The course
libbing,
was
wasn't
over.
he?
Yeah, but so why does he say no one
No, I'm
else
saying
passed it in?
why did the other students
Maybe someone
it
else
seems like
grades it.
No, it's all oral. They're just reading it off and he grades it based on that, isn't it? So he doesn't need to actually see the paper.
but then
That's
it
just their
seems like why
notes.
would he say, but yeah, I mean, but I think they were supposed to write a paper and then deliver an oral
But
presentation on the paper. It just seems like an odd class that you would write a paper,
yeah.
deliver a presentation on it, and not actually hand in the final paper.
But
Yeah, that
definitely
seemed like a
part
bit
of
of just a plot device to
yeah, I'm not
make
sure.
things work.
I mean, the other thing is, I mean, you might relate to this more, Benny, but that I probably wasn't getting. Like, it definitely seemed a bit of commentary of like annoying students and annoying academic bureaucracy, and like when you just want to teach and you just want to read and write, and like you kind of have to deal with. And it's like a love letter to academia, a life towards it, but also like the issues with it and the feuds that. I imagine
Yeah,
there's often
behind
feuds
closed
with different
doors.
professors. I remember sometimes just seeing. I remember two economics professors who hated each other.
Oh, really? That's
Yeah,
funny.
like it's interesting. One like couldn't really do maths, but like he was really good at like describing economic principles. And then the other was like a bore, but I think he was like a math genius. And they like I think they just had totally different views on what was valuable.
That's funny.
And they at one of my courses, one of them was a lecturer and one of them was a tutor, and like they're always
Oh,
whining about each other.
God.
And at the time, I liked the maths
That's
guy. Now I look
pretty
back and I'm
funny.
like, nah, that I like the previous guy who was, I think he's writing children's
Yeah.
books and shit now. He was a good expositor of like, anyway.
Nice, yeah.
But yeah, I imagine feuds are a thing that you have to navigate. And yeah, and some people are assholes, man.
Yeah.
They happen to be crippled.
Should we do the thing about academia as an asylum for like the misfits of the world to hide? Because that was pretty
That's a good
funny.
thing.
I don't know how
Yeah.
seriously we're meant to take it, but it comes up again multiple times throughout the book where he's like reminiscing about good old Dave Masters. Because it feels true of Stoner, right? Like
Like just
this is his enclave where he
this
can
is
be
refuge, yeah,
himself. Yeah.
and he never wants to
Yeah.
leave.
Yeah. And Dave Masters' criticism feels true that he like the world will chew him up and spit him out.
What does Masters say? World that does chew me out. What does Masters say about Finch again?
He says
Like,
that
it's interesting to me.
Finch's model was like, oh, I'm the kindly old scholar who's like doling out the good medicine to the students as they come through the door and giving them a bit of wisdom to prepare them for the world and so on. That's his model of Finch. But he says that Finch is like actually, you know, not as smart as he thinks he is, and also knows well that like he will never amount to much in the world, and this is the best that he can do. Like the kind of those that do, those that can't teach kind of thing, I
Right.
think was his sick burn on on him. Yeah. Is it Finch
Yeah.
or Fincher?
I think Gordon Finch.
Finch, yeah.
Yeah.
Who's a character who really
It's.
grew on me throughout the book, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
From
Yeah.
being like the buffoon to when he occasionally just straight up levels with Lomax and like refuses to like kind of just sides with Stoner and is like, well, come on now. You know, come on now, my good fellow. Like, you know that that's not going to happen.
Yeah, and I'm not sure what we're supposed to make of the fact that Masters has this somewhat lowly opinion of Finch, but then he obviously ends up being this totally stand-up guy, like basically the only friend Stoner has, the only one who stands up for him. And also that he ends up being like the department head is quite interesting, right? I'm not sure if that's also commentary on who ends up leading these kind of departments, like the true academics remain academics and are just short-shrifted for their careers, and then it's the people who
I
view
think a
it more
little bit of that was
transactionally
implied of like, I don't have
end
time for
up
that.
rising through up to the ranks. Yeah.
So I didn't quite get, so like, what position was Lomax and what position was Finch? So, 'cause I didn't, I never could tell like who the kind of more
Finch was
authority.
higher. Finch was
But there
higher.
were some
And
things
then
out of his rubric that like Lomax could
Well,
do
no, I
and
think what it was is like, yeah, so Lomax is the English department head, I think. And then Finch was, yeah, some higher
the
thing looking
dean
after
or
multiple departments, some dean or
and
something.
then would have
And
to
I think
deal
the
with the
point was
fights.
like, yeah, like it would look bad if Finch was to step in and exert power that was
Yeah,
clearly
there was a
sort
few
of out of
comments
control.
that felt a little bit not anachronistic. Like, I'm not sure if they relate to the times when they said when there were certain moves Lomax did or Stoner did, where like it's a the other person can't respond because like telling a senior English professor how to teach is like so out of line. Like, and I just thought like these days I imagine like the HR would come in and be like, no, you can't fucking do that. Like,
You
there'd be
can't
no
do
issue. So.
that. Yeah. 100%.
I mean, maybe a little bit.
But even here, like having tenure is really important, right? Like they make a few references to tenure.
Well, so that's why Lomax takes, tries to bring down Catherine, right? It's because you
He can't get rid of Stoner.
can't get rid of Stoner, and it's like it's kind of a brilliant and evil move to.
Oh, so sad, man.
Yeah, okay,
That is
let's
so,
go.
so sad. You know, you get these little glimmers of like the kind of thing that cheers Stoner up is that like his wife calls him Willie, even when she's being like a total, like she's evil, but like this is like the threads that he hangs on to is like, oh, that's quite endearing. He's
Wife
got like a
calls.
little nickname for me while she's ruining my life. And that's like
Mean,
all that you get. You get these tiny little things where he's trying to grasp onto silver linings in his miserable life. And then you get this one actually amazing thing.
he falls in
And
love.
it's so exciting. I was
I
so
mean,
happy for
that's the other thing
him.
of like the depressing life, but like it's cliched, but the whole is better to love than and lost. Like he had real love, right? And he had however
And when
long it
she
was.
dedicates her book to him,
Oh, I know.
man,
The WS.
I was pretty
That was sad,
misty-eyed
man.
in this book,
I think there
especially the
was,
end
yeah.
and the
It's
Catherine
the
scenes.
end crushed me.
And he reads it in one night, right? And he kind of knows who. And like that was like in another world or another novel, you could imagine like he leaves. He's got cancer and he's got a few months or a year to live, and he goes to find her. And like I liked it how this one, it's like he's just
He
got her
just did it.
book
Yeah. He's like, yeah.
and read it, and that was enough.
There's no reconciliation. They never speak again. It's perfect.
But it's
It's so
sad.
true to life. I suppose nowadays you'd like send them a message request on
Well,
Facebook or
these days
something.
you're stalking them on Instagram, every night. So like, and so we're meant to read her. It's like she's talented, eh? Like that's how I was reading her. She's like kind of precocious and talented, and at the start he thinks she's a great student, and then he realizes he's like spending the night in the library to find her a quote, and like maybe he's like. He's got a
Their
feeling for her.
courtship is so cute, and how
Yeah,
they're both
that's
like
so
being
funny.
very careful not to overstep boundaries, and also felt relatable to me, the chronic overthinking.
Yeah.
Oh man, it was so adorable. I almost thought they were gonna do the like he fumbles the bag because he
Yeah, I
doesn't
thought that was gonna happen.
realize, and then when they didn't, that was like a good release of tension. I was like, oh thank God, like the things are
Thank
turning
God.
up. Stoner catches a break for the first time in this incredibly bleak life.
And they're blissful times together where they're just hanging out all day and they'll just read and then like lay
Just
down together and
reading
then
and
read.
boning. So
It's like,
yeah,
I'm like,
man.
this is the best thing ever. Like,
To
yeah,
be
he must have just been in heaven, man.
to be a
Crazy.
humanities professor in the 60s and 70s, eh? This is
Yeah.
this it's a
Even in the
it's
90s, it'd probably be right.
Catherine says, lust and learning. That's really all there is, isn't it? And I'm pretty sure that's a riff on Freud because he
I was
says
just
like
gonna say, it reminded me of you, that
yeah.
Freud quote.
Yeah. He says like love and work. And she says
All
lust and
there is to
learning.
happiness.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I like her refinement better.
That's nice. I mean, you'd put that in your book these days, this day, if you're writing it now, I think.
Lust and learning, that's all there is.
Well, like
Yeah,
as a joke, you'd say the Freud
yeah.
one and then you'd say or as in Stoner.
Yeah.
Yeah, that does feel like an illusion.
I'm guessing it is.
Yeah, and then yeah, and then so does Stoner break it off and then she leaves, or does she just leave? They've both kind of realized they can't, eh? I think they say they.
She does it,
Yeah, they
and it
can't. Yeah.
also like perfectly anticipates his decision.
Yeah.
She knows him so well that she just takes the decision out of his hands
Yeah.
and does what she would
Yeah.
have had to do anyway, which again just makes her seem like so perfect, and there's no note of disharmony where she's like
Yeah.
kind of asking him to
I
make a
mean,
sacrifice for her.
I suppose this is another area where he wasn't super passive. He was in the breakup, but at the start of it in the courtship, like a super passive guy might have just like not done it or fumbled the bag, but he did kind of throw the matzo
Yeah, that's
ball,
true.
put the matzo ball out there, as Jerry Seinfeld
That's a big monkey ball.
says, I think.
Yeah, true.
Or as in when Harry met Sally, once you put it out there, you can't just. He says, "Oh, I'll just take it back then." You can't take it back. You can't. It's funny whenever you read like a review of When Harry Met Sally, like these days, they always say, "Well, the premise is obviously false. Women and men can be friends," but it's a good movie anyway. Yeah. I mean, we've covered most of the book, and then I suppose his the World War II happening and the grace, which we touched on, and then his sort of slowly dying and accepting his life, which was not, it was a good ending, I thought.
Yeah.
Just him
It
kind
was
of
sad. Yeah,
accepting
man, it
it.
was rough.
Yeah.
Just looking
What
back
did
at
you
his life,
expect?
wondering.
What did you expect? That's what he keeps saying.
Right, yeah.
What was that in response to?
He's reflecting on all of his failures and he's like,
Yeah. Yeah,
why
that's
did I
the
do
thing. He just like
otherwise?
he owns it, eh? Like he's like, yeah.
It's kind of a callback to the Dave Masters comment, where Dave Masters is like, you're a dreamer.
Yeah.
You're a Don Quixote, like wandering around. The world will chew you up and spit you out because you think that there's something there and that you can find it. But there's not. But I think he's like internalized that by the end of the book, because life has knocked him around sufficiently to, his life has taught
Yeah.
him the lessons that Dave Masters thought he was yet to learn. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the other thing with this
It feels
book
like a
is.
peaceful death, even though it's grim.
Yeah, I think
He's a badass with
it's
the
a
cancer,
stoic
by the
death.
way. Yeah. I respect the hell out of that.
While just taking the like push delaying it for like a few weeks. The
Refusing to
operation and stuff.
tell anyone, not being interested in the life extension, refusing to take Lomax's deal.
He just
Yeah.
went out on his own terms, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Right until the end.
Norm Macdonald it.
Also, the writing was incredible around his death. I've never read such good writing, and it seems so realistic of how one might actually die when you're sort of like coming in and out of yourself. You're ha having almost like out of body experiences. Sometimes your hearing is very key. Like, obviously, I don't know what it's like, but I was like, wow, this feels like what it could be like, you know? And you're just kind of, you're kind of in and out of it, and you can feel yourself getting weaker, and you sort of know it's coming, and you feel this sort of tingling sensation. And I was like, holy shit, man, this could fucking, this person's been to the other side. Like, this is the most realistic accounting of death I've ever
Yeah, there was
read.
captured a little bit in this movie Hunger with Michael Fassbender, which is kind of an artsy, boring film somewhat. It had like three parts, and the last third was just like him dying of starvation, and it did kind of capture that kind of almost.
Is that based on the Northampton book of the same name?
I'm not
Do you
sure,
know?
but it's about an IRA Irish
Oh, then no.
activist who's in prison and does a hunger strike.
Oh, Bobby, something? Bobby,
There's some name that's famous that I'm forgetting. The other thing with this book, like, since it was underrated for so long, it kind of gets used as like, for aspiring writers and stuff. That whole feeling of like, my stuff's good and it's not selling, but like, one
You
day,
could be like Stoner.
it'll get, but no, more like John Williams, like,
That's what I meant.
one day, like, someone will pick this up. And like it is really good, and there's always a chance that this is this hidden gem. And like Herman Melville didn't, Moby Dick didn't sell super well at first, and then it becomes like this. And like most of the time, of course, it's like cope. But
I feel like if you write something this good, you know it's good, right?
yeah. Well, I think even Williams said like he backed it, and it didn't make a huge splash. And he's like, hopefully one day people realize this is
It's so fitting as
this is
well.
a
It's
good
so
novel.
perfect that the book didn't do well.
It is. It's
It's just
like, yeah.
perfectly like thematically on
Yeah.
point.
Oh, no,
It would,
it's crazy.
yeah. It
And I
would've been
assume he
wrong
died
somehow.
before he got any real kudos for it.
Well, no, but he won like a Booker Award, or like he won some award later for his next book. And then there were like it was kind of like some writers every now and then, like C.P. Snow wrote it, and he said this is the and he said the question that all people who love this book have asked since, like, why is this book not famous? And like, so that was kind of happening. He died in the 90s. I think
94.
the main resurgence happened in 2005 plus. So yeah, it became super famous after his death. But I think he would have known that it was well regarded, not just like super bestseller these days.
I'm a
It
little
is
bit
a
scared to
yeah.
read any of his other books because
Yeah, I don't
how
think I
could
will
they
for a while.
possibly be as good as this?
Once you do the ancient Rome thing, then you can read. We can read that.
So we have the ancient Roman Anki up and running.
But you gotta imagine that, I mean, maybe improved as a writer, and but it's certainly okay. So is this the favorite one you've read, Benny?
Like book ever? Or like
Well,
what
if you want
in
to take
what
that,
class of?
I mean in book club, but
I'd put this up there with, I mean, there's such different books
yeah,
in
this is really up there. Yeah,
aggressiveness
it's very
that
different. Yeah, sort of apples and
it's really
oranges,
up
right?
there. But it's up there. I mean, I really enjoyed this.
It's
This is
really
also
good.
easier to read. Like Infinite Jest, even though I liked it, there was a part of me that every time I finished my allotted page, I was
You wanted to
like,
throw it against
thank
the wall.
God. Well, or like I finished my 15 or 20 pages or whatever for the day, and I'm like, I'm ready to put this book down because my brain is fucking spinning. I'm not sure what just happened. But whereas this one, I was like having a hard time putting it down. Like I was just loving, like there
Bro,
were some
same.
mornings I would just spend the fucking, and I was like, I need to start doing work, but I just fucking, I couldn't. Like I
Oh
was
wow.
just like, I loved
I
it.
was like that in the middle, and then maybe because I got broken up and I stopped reading for 5 days, and then and I'm
Yeah, I had
done.
that page turner experience of like staying up late and being wanting to finish the book, and I just made myself put it down because like the higher level
You're like, I won't
concern of like,
appreciate it as much.
yeah, exactly. And it's
Interesting
such a
though.
good decision they have to make where you're like, I'd love to keep reading it, but I also
Yeah,
want to
yeah.
get the most out of it. And it's so rare to have that feeling. And
That
what a
is true.
mercifully short book too. Like, it's
Yeah,
perfect
it's
length.
good size. As the girls say, perfect size.
It's just right.
Yeah. Not too, you don't
Or
want
like
it too big.
like modern, like I mean Wallace and Friends, right? Franzen and Roth and stuff, like they're fucking long books.
Well, Infinite Jest, yeah, completely different book. Like,
Who's
it's,
writing 200-page perfect books these
this is like
days?
300 page, but like,
Is it?
280.
Oh.
But
Seven.
it's a very non grandiose or non ostentatious book. It's like, it's very simple. It's understated. It's quiet. It's like a quiet book. And like,
It's
and I
not
don't
doing
think,
the six different parallel voices and storylines type. It's like I'm
but it's
starting to
also
think
not doing
like
like
the postmodern stuff is
the
actually
grandiose, this is war, or this is like a battle, or this is like a champion, like either.
Postmodern stuff is like distracting from a fundamental inability to tell one story really well by having to add in big allusions and big references and multiple parallel storylines and like B plots and C plots and stuff. It's like maybe this is more what a great book is
I
for
mean,
something
I'd
that
love to
doesn't
know what Wallace
need all
thinks
that
about this book.
stuff.
And what writers in general think about this book. I know Ian McEwan's a fan, like back in the day. Now it's really good. It is, even talking like we've just been praising it this whole time, it's hard to, it's still kind of hard to nail down like why it's so good. This understated, quiet deepness to it.
The prose is so good as well, and I think we can't separate that out because it could be like mawkish and sentimental, but it's not. I think that has a lot to do with like the restraint in the prose, but it's like perfectly walking the line where it is evocative, but it's not over the top.
And the narrator sometimes just says things as is, like they're just,
It's weird because it's kind of like some of it is like tell, don't show, right? Where he just says what the lesson is or whatever. He says, like,
Certainly at the
Stoner,
start.
yeah, like that first page, for instance, or like Stoner's updated views on love as time goes on. It's like not revealed through his actions. It's just, the author just tells you.
Yeah, no, I think it's, and it's different to someone like Hemingway who would like you grow to realize, oh, this character is traumatized by the way they're making their bed. It would just tell you, right? And it worked.
It's the
Yeah,
kind of thing which
dope book.
ought to bother you but doesn't for some reason. Of being like, well,
I think,
Stoner had learned over his years that, love is actually this and not this or whatever. Like, it's kind of the bald exposition type stuff, but
maybe that's why I didn't do so well at the start. Like, I don't really know what was. I suppose postmodernism was happening in the 60s, and then this one suddenly comes out as this kind of like plain narration of like one step after the other of like this life and like no subplots. And
it's so sincere as well. There's not one drop of like irony or what would you call it, like embarrassment or anything in here. He just fucking goes for it and lets it rip. It's not trying to be cute or trying to like. It is bold in that sense. It is bold because it's trying to speak. It's trying to like relay all these great truths, and it just does so like kind of unabashedly, which is ambitious when you think about it.
I saw there were plans of a movie, which I'm not sure, but
Yeah,
like,
Casey Affleck.
yeah,
Don't know about that.
who's a, well, who's a, yeah, I could see that. To be honest, and he's a pretty good actor. Although Manchester by the Sea should come with a fucking trigger warning.
Casey Affleck is not the Stoner in my head.
Oh, Casey, like, he got in trouble for like being angry on some set, didn't he?
I would fucking cast Daniel Day-Lewis. That would be Stoner for me, for sure. But I think he's quit acting.
I mean, I don't think
Bro,
I.
that's pretty good. Give me a good stone.
I don't know. I wasn't really imagining. And then the problem is my cover, I don't have it near, which is infinitely better than Richard's. Do you have yours near, Ben?
Yeah, I do.
I was
Yeah,
kind
I'm
of,
jealous of your guys' covers.
imagining him,
With
yeah, as
this.
that. And your guy's like some fucking, looks like some young guy that
It's like
off
he's
like,
a, looks like it's a still from
off a reality.
Reservoir Dogs or something.
I
I
was imagining
don't
some reality TV show or something, like, or like Gossip Girl or something. Like,
know. Yeah.
Oh yeah,
it's like, it's
I do
really
not like
odd.
your fucking,
Nah,
you're
it's
not like
terrible.
that at all.
I actually saw that on Amazon. I'm not getting that one.
Damn
I'm
it.
not. I think I paid like $3 more or something.
Ah, oh, fuck.
Yeah, it's worth
Yeah.
it. Yeah.
It also ruined our photo, our synchronous
No.
reading photo.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it just doesn't look like we're reading the same book. Yeah, good book, lads. Good book.
Nice. Good one. I definitely want to try and write a review of that one. I know I said that about Glass Bead Game too, though, so I'm not, don't hold your breath. Fuck.
Because
Writing book reviews is
I think you
solid,
like
though.
Glass Bead Game more than us, right?
I did for
Yeah.
sure.
Were you a
It's
bit worried
probably
this time? Like opening thing, everyone's like, this is shit.
no, I wouldn't have cared. I would have stood up for this one. I mean, I
Yeah.
think I stood up for Glass Bead Game, even though
You
you guys didn't like it as much. Like,
stoned
I
it.
unabashedly liked it. Yeah, I stoned it, bro. Yeah, you guys don't
Now,
understand.
Glass
I mean,
Bead Game
also,
was
I
good.
mean,
I thought it was a bit long. That's the main thing. I think Richard didn't like it
yeah.
more than me as well.
I think it was fertile ground for stuff to talk
And
about.
that, yeah. And too
Just,
much nature and bush.
I'm never gonna read it again. I'm 100% gonna read this book again. Yeah, no,
Too much
I think,
nature, but
when do you think is a good
too
time? I
much
reckon a
bush.
couple years. Thing is, we read so many books now.
I'm gonna get Phoebe to read it and then I'll get to talk about it again, which is exciting.
Oh, that'd
Be
be exciting.
fascinated to don't prime her, but to her view of Edith. Yeah.
Yeah.
Portrayal.
She's
Like,
not very
don't tell
well. I
her
think it's
anything
not that
woke
she's
though, so
toxic.
she probably won't even be thinking about
Well,
it
it's
through
not.
that
No,
lens.
I think she will. I think there's a there. Like, it's not that just because she's a toxic character. I think it's almost like I'm just missing a little bit of motivation for her. That there could be a bit more there.
I felt that confusion too, but it just wasn't enough to pull me out of it. And I thought that if I. I had the feeling like if I was paying closer attention, I would get it. Or if I thought about it carefully, I would get
So I'm
it.
being the most woke for this meeting.
Yeah. You got some
Oh.
compensating to do for your
Yeah.
all your other sins. Yeah, no black characters,
No
but
black characters. Yeah.
and the representation of disabled people.
Yeah, I know. But it's something that's kind of funny. Like, it's just like.
Wait, no, there was a black character. Remember the farmhand?
Yeah.
I
He was
don't.
a good ass worker. He worked like
He
way more
wasn't.
efficiently than Stoner and his dad did.
Yeah. I
Oh,
think
the.
the disability was relevant, though. I mean, I think that was why he had this kinship with Walker and why he was like looking past Walker.
Yeah, I think that's why you
And it's
knew
why he
him.
thought
Yeah,
the world was
exactly.
kind of against him as well. And it
Yeah.
probably, and it maybe was a little bit, but like. And
Yeah.
like you couldn't do it
Yeah.
these days, but that probably happens as well. Like you could imagine, like a black professor and then this black student is like protecting them, and it's like the student's like not good, and like
Yeah.
it's purely culture wars. And like, and if
Well,
you
I think,
wrote about it accurately,
yeah, that would have been tricky. I would
yeah.
have
Well,
even
and I think
felt different
also,
about that, but yeah.
yeah, that would be interesting. And I mean, also, it just brings out the tension of what the university is for, right? On the one hand, I think Lomax feels that he's in some sense protecting his student because his student would have a rough time in the world, right? I think that's his perspective. Like we kind of owe him a place here in some sense because he's not going to fit in elsewhere and he's the smart guy or smart enough. And so we should have him in regardless of whether he knows his history and his English literature. And then the Stoner's perspective is the university is not, it's also or I guess maybe it's more the master's perspective, but you know, Stoner's also at the university and being protected from the outside world. And the meta question is like, what class of person are you trying to protect? Like, are you trying to protect,
Yeah, I mean, it's
like,
not so much in this, but what I kind of liked about older books, and not even that old, that dealt with like some of these kind of cultural war issues, race relations and sex relations stuff, is like Richard Wright, the black author in the 40s and 50s of this, but even like early Spike Lee movies, they sort of they simultaneously captured this like this potential unfairness and this there that like Lomax is concerned about that might be there, but then they can also capture like the other person's being an asshole as well, like even though they've been them I'm not sure Lomax has been downtrodden, but like you know you a black person might be downtrodden, it's like it's total injustice, but then like they're doing some really toxic and negative behaviors as well, but like I think these days with like more woke movies it's more like you don't get this so much, and it's just like they've been downtrodden, but they're perfect,
Yeah, this is
and it's
like the
less
most
real.
patronizing thing ever, right? Is like, if you want real equality, then you grant women and minorities the privilege of being terrible people as well, just like everyone else, or of being flawed people.
Yeah, I mean, you can rationalize that too much. They have all these like sexist tropes.
Well, you wouldn't want to like go
Everyone's
out
fair
of your
game.
way,
Everyone's
like,
fair game.
but it's like, it's just as bad to go out of your way to make, black people or disabled people like the good
I
hero, the
know,
good
and people see through
heroes who
it.
can do no wrong, than it is to make them the evil baddies. It feels like a mistaken understanding of how to correct that particular historical injustice is to
And
invert
it's
it.
related to sort of the bigotry and low expectations, right?
Yeah,
Exactly.
it is
Yeah,
that.
yeah. We're this thing in New Zealand politics at the moment where this MP who's like the first refugee MP got caught shoplifting on multiple occasions, like really expensive designer clothes or something. And then the big media constructed narrative has been like, instead of like, oh, MPs should be held to a high standard, don't be robbing stuff. It's like, this is what happens to brown women who
Is that what's
are
happening in the media at the moment?
100%, yeah. It's like brown women
Jesus
who are
Christ,
the
man.
ones, like, did you ever think about how much pressure they're under? And this, like, it's not going to happen to a white guy. So it's like the most crazy patronizing thing ever to be
Yeah,
like, yeah, like brown people
they're
have to,
allowed to
like,
steal,
if
like,
you flip it around, it's like, oh, it's brown, like, yeah, brown people are going to steal stuff because they're so like fragile or whatever. I would be, if I was
That's
a brown
kind of
woman,
crazy,
I'd be
man.
so
That's
fucking
insane.
mad. But
I mean,
yeah,
I
I'd be so
assumed
pissed.
it's funny. I thought on that thing, I thought like everyone in New Zealand kind of knows about it. And then over here, I doubt people would know about it too much. But I went for dinner with like two Kiwi couples the other day. And I mentioned it. We were talking about other things that just related. And I just mentioned it. I said, I didn't want to get into politics, but like just around the idea of being a very public facing person and doing something so high risk, like just so retarded to me. And she's like, obviously, like a kleptomaniac. But like I just could not fathom doing that. Your whole career will be over. But then, as I was saying that, one of the guys is like, is pointless. Oh, Gav's been defending her last with this whole, like, oh, it's like, oh, she needs to do it because of the pressure. But like, even if you take it on her own terms, right? Like, it's the mental health problem, like, she can't function, has to steal from like designer clothes. It's like, oh, well, she probably shouldn't be in fucking
Still
office.
bad, yeah.
Well, yeah,
What
still
if,
bad, but
yeah.
like, yeah, if you can't handle
She's
that,
got
it's like,
access to all the fucking
yeah,
treasury
but
accounts,
listen to
right?
all my
Like,
policies. Listen to all my policies, but
To be
like,
fair, I think even the people running this narrative were like, yes, she should have resigned, and yes, we can't have people like that in leadership positions, but blah, blah, blah. But
but I
what
think
did
it's
you
all
say,
that
the
is true
bigotry
though.
of
I mean,
low
because
expectations,
she's
Benny? Is that the term you use? That's such a good term. I got to remember that. That's exactly it. Yeah.
Anki now, mate. Put it in Rome for Anki
That doesn't come from me, by the way. That's a thing. Maybe
Coined by
I don't
Benny.
know where that comes from. Yeah,
But to be honest,
on his call.
with the New Zealand
Put
coast, like it
Ben
is.
Chug, and then I'll put a dash with whoever
Who coined? Have that as an anchor guy. Who
yeah,
coined bigotry?
Michael Scott style.
But like, even with the New Zealand case, I think it is true that a lot of the backlash, people getting angry with her, like the fact that she is foreign and that she is a woman, young woman, and then like, and that she is woke, that's all kind of part of the vitriol as well. Part of it's just like when the other tribe does something, one
Oh,
tribe
100,
just like goes
100.
nuts, and then when this tribe does it, the other tribe. But I think it can be gendered and racialized as well, like. But obviously, like stealing's bad, right? Like, real bad.
Yeah.
All right, boys, I gotta run, but So
I
wait,
can go stay on this one of the rest of the
no, good to call it. I think we need to choose a new book. Does it, I mean, we could just do
All
Disgrace
right.
since we all have it.
Yep.
I have Disgrace and Virginia Woolf and Gravity's Rainbow.
Sid.
Yeah.
Gravity's
Are we
Rainbow.
gonna shoot for a meeting on Tuesday or like skip a week?
I actually can't do Tuesday because I've got a grad starting that I have to like induct. But
I'd be down
you,
to skip a
yeah.
week because I have a deadline
Okay.
with paper, a conference deadline on Thursday, so I'll probably be busy.
Okay,
Yeah,
that's
so
cool. Yeah.
we'll just skip a week and go back to Tuesdays.
Yeah. Monday for Benny.
Right, Monday for me.
But
Yeah,
it
okay,
sounds,
yeah.
what about timing? Like, this is a bad time.
No, this is an okay time. Does this time work for you guys? Like, does
Well, I
Friday
got
kind
it. It's
of.
Australia Day for the moment. That's why it worked for me. But in general, it's like when work starts. But I could probably do it. I'm not. I mean, what about if we split the difference, or do you literally have a class? Like, what if we did an hour later?
No, on my if it's on my Mondays, I mean, I could swing. It's just
I
not
just,
ideal
we
because,
go
like,
quite long sometimes, and I'm just like, you know, if I start at 9 and it's like fucking lunchtime. I've just been going book club. Which, like, you know, most work days for me, I could get away with, just sometimes I can't. And
yeah.
what if we did 1 hour later than normal? So I think that's your 4 p.m.
Yeah.
Or a
Yeah, we can
different
do that.
day, potentially.
Sounds good. No, 4 p.m. sounds good. I can do that.
My boss knows I can't come in the office on Tuesdays, and he just has no idea why. Because I got book clubs on at 9 a.m.
Let's do 1 hour later.
Sweet.
That works. Let's split the difference.
Okay,
Cool.
disgrace. I mean, I don't feel super strongly about it, but.
Whatever book we pick is gonna have a rough fucking go of it because I mean
Yeah.
I got high
Well, I'm a bit
expectations.
worried of, like, Richard said you might not like Virginia Woolf, and then, you know, we go after Stoner and.
What is this shit?
I'm kind of leaning we go Disgrace, then Wolf, then Pynchon.
Gravity's Rainbow. Yeah, let's do
Sure.
that.
Let's do
Okay.
nice.
Sweet. Catch you later, boys.
Good to see you guys.
All right, see you guys.
See ya.